Liverpool keep up their Champions League hopes of qualification for the end of the season. This was a big win, this. We knew we had to take advantage when teams slip up. We've done it today. We've hit five past West Ham. We were excellent in the first half, going 3-0 up. Deadly from corners, all three goals coming from corners. First goal in the opening 5 minutes, half cleared the corner. Gravenberg, lovely ball to Ekotike. Great finish by Hugo Ekotike. 16th goal of the season. Virgil van Dijk headed in a corner to make it 2-0. And then another corner, Ekotike touching it down, and McAllister, spectacular right-footed finish into the roof of the net for 3-0. Socek then pulled a goal back for West Ham before Cody Gakpo got on the score sheet to score, even though Castellanos scored from a corner to set up a frantic last 15 minutes. Liverpool were always in control. Substitute Frimpong into the box, his cross turned into his own net by De Sarzi. Liverpool win, better for goal difference too. Liverpool 5, West Ham 2.
Goals galore here at Anfield as the Reds move up to fifth in the Premier League ahead of Chelsea's trip to Arsenal on Sunday. In this episode of The Reaction, we'll hear from Arne Slot and Hugo Ekotike too. First though, to pitch side analysis from David James and Jason McAteer. They join myself, Becky Davis, after the game. Welcome back to you two. There's a lot that's happened since I last saw you, but just in terms of the game, massive 3 points. I think it all felt very relaxed at half-time, Jace, and then West Ham obviously tried to come back into it in the second, but I don't think it ever really felt that Liverpool were in too much danger.
Oh, they always felt in control of the game, and you know, we spoke before the game about the importance of scoring early. Certainly scoring in the first half, but it just quietens everything down. Then you go in second, then you build on it. And for Liverpool going in 3-0, it just felt the contest was over, although they come out second half, they concede 3-1, but then they quickly get back to a 4-1 lead, and then, you know, eventually the game runs out 5-2. But slightly flattered the performance, the scoreline. You know, there were moments in the game, lapses of concentration, obviously conceding the two goals, which they did, little silly mistakes, which could have proved costly, certainly in the first half. You know, they weren't punished for their mistakes, and hence they went on and were clinical with their own chances that they created. So slightly flattered them 5-2, but listen, it's 3 points. It's brought Aston Villa right back in the mix, and it's put a pile of pressure on Manchester United and Chelsea for tomorrow's games.
I asked you pre-match and you were quite honest and said you weren't too bothered about what kind of performance we got here this afternoon. You just wanted the 3 points. You have that. But what did you make of the way the game panned out?
That is perfect for Liverpool. I mean, 3 points being perfect. The performance itself, what I found interesting, first four goals were all from set plays, essentially, from corners. And that was where Liverpool were at their best today. That's all they needed to do. Yes, the West Ham goal 3-1 kind of put a funny mood in the air. But like Jason said, I think they're in control of the game, you know. So therefore, conceding, frustrating. When you look at that league table, which you just had up a minute ago, you know, one goal difference between them and Manchester United in the goal difference, and at 5-1 that would have been level. However, had you given a 3-0 scoreline before the game, Liverpool would have definitely taken that. So in the end, 3 points, comfortable, I thought, overall. Different goal scorers as well, which made it good. McAllister's goal was somewhat
so
fantastic.
A beauty, wasn't it?
That's what he said. Yeah, and I wouldn't get frustrated with the fact that Liverpool have scored conceded two goals in this. It's not about keeping clean sheets, it's about getting 3 points, but they've done exactly what they needed to do.
Yeah, we're going to hear from the scorer of the first goal in just a minute. Hugo Ekotike is on his way. But just in terms of getting that early goal, as you say, it does just give a different feel, a feeling that we've not had the luxury of having too often this season. Only 31% of Liverpool's league goals have come in the first half, Jason. To get one in 5 minutes, to get three by half-time, it made all the difference, didn't it?
Yeah, and as a player, you know, they're the kind of games you want to play in, you know, when you get an early lead and then you get the second and then you can start really performing. You're not on edge, the crowd are with you. You know, they play some really nice stuff, Liverpool, at times. Little quick 1-2s, round the corner, putting balls in the box. You know, you can do that when you've got the luxury of being 2-0. Then they go and get the third. Unfortunately, then half-time comes and you go in and it's very difficult to come back out with the same enthusiasm, isn't it? You know, we've done it plenty of times.
Sorry, I think okay. Burnley and Brentford's probably a great example. You know, I know they Burnley scored just before half time, but when you're so dominant in the game, sometimes it is easy to think, okay, we've got this one wrapped up. The opposition can't offer much. And if we look at that game, I know Brentford went on to win 4-3 with a last-minute goal, effectively. Yeah. But what Liverpool did when they went the goal down was, right, we'll score again. I say, we'll get in a position, and they scored again. So they were always, you know, a good arm length away from being in trouble.
And we have seen plenty of times Liverpool then go and concede again. And then it becomes really nervy. But Jamo's right, you know, that's good character, that's good desire, that they go then again, drop it a gear, and then go 4-1, then they can all relax again.
Good game management, as they call
it. Yeah, that's coming. That is coming.
Yeah, but I think it's maturity, because if you... I can't remember the game now. Where Liverpool went behind for the only time this season where they've been behind in the Premier League and then gone on to win. That was recent. And today, like Jason said, there's been games early on in the season where people be like, hang on a minute, this could end up 3-3 here.
Yeah.
But it hasn't. They've extended again, took the lead, took that extension in the lead, and won 3 points, and that is a sign of improvement.
It is. Okay, let's hear from the guy who got the first of the 5 goals this afternoon. Hugo Ekitike is with Peter McDowell.
Well, Hugo, congratulations. Big win, big scoreline as well, and you got it all on the way. Felt good that, didn't it, today?
Yeah. I think that was a good win. Good job from the team, so really happy today with this win. We have to keep going because we're going to be a long wait at the end of the league. But yeah, really happy. I think that was really important today.
And important as well to get the first goal, but also to race into the lead that you did, to score 3 as quick as you did, was a big part of today's win, I think.
I mean, when you go through that kind of games, score early, up. It helped the team, you know, the fans also. You feel more confident, and obviously go half-time with 3-0. It's nice, but they showed that it means nothing because they could come back in the game. So, yeah, we concede as well, but when you concede, you have to be able to score goals, and we score 5 today. And it's been a long time that we score a lot of goals in the game, so that's nice.
Also the set plays as well. Is that something you're working on a lot at the moment as a team? The last 6 Premier League goals have come from non-penalty set pieces. That's the longest run we've ever had in Premier League football.
I mean, yeah, obviously we had some problems at the start of the season. We've been talking all together, working on the pitch set pieces and stuff. So that's good that today, you know, it works. I think we deserve because we put a lot of energy in this. So, yeah, that's nice.
You mentioned as well before, the challenges that come with West Ham. That is the Premier League, isn't it, this season, that no team will lie down for anybody.
Yeah, no team. Every game's difficult. Like, full of great teams, great players. They leave nothing to the end of the game, so... Yeah, every game we play is always difficult. It's never an easy game. But we should we can win games, and we have to keep going.
I think it's 16 for you now, isn't it? In all competitions this year, it might be 17. I might be missing one, but you're in some fine form. First year in the Premier League, you must feel so good about it.
To be honest, I could score more today. I'm not that happy. But it's not even all goals, you know. It's assists as well. Today, I think I give 1 or 2 assists, I don't remember, but yeah, as long as I can help the team and be involved, that's the most important, and I want to win, so personally, I'm happy, but I'm looking forward for the incoming games.
You set such high standards, it's great to hear you say that almost, that 17 and it could have been many more, you want more, you think you can improve week on week?
Obviously I can improve. I could score also the last games. I had great chances, so I have to keep working. I want to be the best version of myself to help more the team, because I know I could help more. But it's always about lessons and, you know, getting better. So I'll try in coming games to be even better and score more and be involved more. And yeah.
Well done today.
Thank you.
He's hungry for more, he wants to improve, but
I like that.
My goodness, what a start he's had to Anfield life. 16th goal, as Pete said there, all comps this season.
Listen, it was a difficult start for him at Anfield, you know, with big price tag, come with big expectations, got a good CV, and then all of a sudden we go and buy Isak, and we bring him in. you know, for 120 million, was it? And he must have been thinking, I've come here to start, I've come here to play, I'm going to spend 120 million, he's going to get in ahead of me, so what am I going to do? And the only thing you can do is tell the manager that you want to be playing in the team, and by doing that, it's been putting in performances, hard work, graft, and scoring goals for centre-forward. And he's gone and done that. He took his opportunity unbelievably well. Wasn't on the back page of the papers moaning, wasn't knocking on the manager's door. It was like, I will show you. And you could see that in his performances. And I was willing him. You know, I love this little story. Like, I was willing him to score goals. Not that I don't want Isak to play, but just that I just felt for him.
Is there an element of it, maybe that takes the pressure off in a different way, though, if somebody else is brought in and is the marquee signing, if you like? And as you say, he's got the attitude then of, I'll show you as well, but all the pressure isn't.
Yeah, the competition for the place is one thing, but when, you know, you're being brought in for 120 million, you're kind of looking thinking, he's going to play. Like, I am not going to play here. So, like, you know, what have I done? And I don't know what happened with the talks. I don't know whether they promised him he was going to play. I don't know whether they said Isak was going to. I don't know. But from the outside looking in, it just looks like he's come for a big price tag. He was going to play. And then they bring Isak in and it's kind of like, oh. But he has been given his opportunity and he's taken it. And, you know, he's become a firm fan's favourite. He started straightening up this relationship with Vert, who I think... he said today there he wasn't happy with his goals, but also Jamo made a good point. You know, his movement was really good today. Players weren't finding him. He has that relationship with Vert. Vert finds him all the time. He little one-twos around the box. The movement's really good. Vert creates a lot of opportunities for each other. Mm. And I did miss him today. And I think maybe not sulking, but maybe he was upset by that. But he gets his goal, but he wants more. And he just wants more and more and more. And I love that about him.
In terms of his stats, David, we speak sometimes about Liverpool starting games slowly. He has 6 Premier League goals in the first half of games. It's a combined total for the rest of the Liverpool team of 5 in the first half of Premier League games. So the team might start slowly, but he always comes out of the box pretty quickly.
Yeah, I what I said to Jake, I mean, just watching him today, there was times where he was making runs and not getting the pass. I'm not going to say he was frustrated, but you could tell that he was expecting a pass or wanting the pass. He didn't have that. He's electric. And I think one of the frustrations that we had early on in the season, going back to what Jason said about Isak being in, was Isak was starting a lot of games and Ekitike was coming on and then changing the mood of the game in a positive way. What we're seeing now is that, and probably in a sense what we were talking about with Rio right at the beginning of the show, is that we know that Ekitike is going to do things early. So if you bring on a sub, you're going to get an early response, which is what we saw earlier on in the season. But now that he's starting, because Isak isn't there to stop him from starting, shall we say, he's doing everything, a lot of stuff in the first half. But exciting player. I like the hunger. The only warning I would give is don't get too frustrated with being frustrated, because that can be very detrimental.
Easy to do, though, I suppose, in the
moment. It is. You want more. And when you win 5... I mean, again, ironically today, the first four goals have come from set place situations, not open play situations, where we've seen him score a lot of goals. So maybe a bit of the frustration is that he hasn't got the goals in normal open play transitions. It's been around the set play movements.
I
agree with Jamo there. It's like sometimes you can overanalyze your own game. You know, you can watch it back and think, well, I should have done that. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. But he's got this rawness about him, and he's got bags of ability, and he's got this rawness, gets him into positions, and, you know, instinct for being a striker. He's got it. He's got pace. He can see things. He's got good movements. He can come short. He can go deep. You know, he can hurt in a number of different ways. You know, I agree with Jamo. Don't go away and be frustrated and really beat yourself up over it. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. Do you know what I mean? But you've got on the score sheet today. You've done your job. You were effective.
2 assists.
Yeah, and 2 assists. Yeah. He's had a good day.
It's a good day at the office for you, Goat, I could take it. Yeah. He is exciting in the moment, but I think probably one of the most exciting things is he's 23 years old. You're looking at him, Florian Wirtz, the relationship they have together, and you're kind of looking at the future as well, which is really exciting. The prospect of them playing here together for quite a few years to come, hopefully, David.
And then a youngster comes on as a sub and... does his bit as well. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's as a young talent who could get a lot better with more game time, with more, again, exposure with quality players around him, like we've seen him develop this season. Don't get frustrated by it. Just understand that things don't always go right, like Jason says, and just understand that you'll get better in time. And in time, you'll be looking back at this and going, that's fine. Today, as I say, the goal wasn't scored in general open play, but he was looking to score it. There'll be games before the end of the season where he'll get that ball and he'll put it in the back of the net, and then he won't be worried. He'll be happy.
There's also adapting to the Premier League. I mean, you know,
he's had 7 months, Chase. I think he's adapted.
No, what I'm saying is, like, next season, you know, he's going to be playing against players he's familiar with. You know, when it's new, you know, you don't know what you're going to come up against. You don't know who's playing with you. You know, there's going to be some clubs that he really likes playing against, because you get that as a player as well. You know, when you're season in, season out in the Premier League, you think, I quite fancy playing against West Ham, or he didn't bother me last season. I'm going to have a good day today. So there's all that going to come into it. But you're right, the relationship with Verts, you know, Rio's going to start getting more game time. You've got Salah, it's just, the club's in a healthy position, very healthy.
From one of the newer members of the team to one of the older members of the team, in the best way, Virgil van Dijk celebrated 8 years here just last month, Jason. He gets goal number two. I know.
I remember when we were trying to get him, we were away. Yeah, I remember that. It's like
the
yesterday.
Best late Christmas present, wasn't it, when it came in January. Yeah. But yeah, he gets goal number two. I feel like we can speak about Virgil, and it's almost, after so long, it's almost taken for granted that 99% of the time he goes out, does his job, has an outstanding game. But you have to give him credit where it's due, especially on the goal front, David, because he's been really contributing in that sense in recent months.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like a quite simple goal, really, when you look at the delivery. I mean, it's, 5 yards out, centre of the penalty area. But his movement, I think Mavropanos might be marking him. He's given him a little shove, got in front of him and got the header in there. Should have had a goal against Manchester City. But some referee decided it was it was a bit iffy, and that could have changed the whole complex of the season. However, I'm not moaning about that. We talked at the beginning, didn't we, about how leaders on the pitch with Dom. Obviously, Virgil being the captain is a leader, but the way that he plays, again, demonstrates that he's got that leader quality and people respect it.
Some stats on him, Jason. In terms of central defenders, this is a non-penalty goals. Only John Terry with 41 has more Premier League goals.
As in career.
Yeah, this is in the entire history of the competition, by the way. So 28 for Virgil. I mean, he's not just a Liverpool great, he's a Premier League great as well.
Absolutely, he'll go down as a Premier League great. Yeah, we've seen his contribution here. You know, the 7 years under Jürgen was amazing. He was a major, major part of that. And, you know, it's been a difficult season. It's been a difficult season for lots of different reasons. And when you're in them leadership roles, as Virgil is, being one of the older players, he's got the armband, you know, through what the club's been through, but also in the dressing room. It's unprecedented. You know, we've never done this. We talk from experience when we're ex-players and being out there and what it's like playing in cup finals, what it's like being in dressing rooms for this. But when you lose a player that as close as they were to Diogo, you know, he's got to step up and almost be a father to some of the younger players who had that relationship with Diogo, or be that leader when it's not going well. And, you know, sometimes you've got to be the harsh words and listen, we can't be upset by this, like, for 90 minutes. You can't let it affect us. I think it did for some of the players. I think it still does. But it's down to him to bring that unity, that togetherness, and that is very, very difficult, something none of us have experienced. So, you know, his quality's there off the pitch. It's not just on it with the statistics that he you know, for me, he's great because, and I listen to some of the interviews about protecting players and interviews.
I was just going to speak about that.
You know, he's very vocal in that, and you were telling me he goes to watch the kids. Like,
he does the academies,
You know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't see Virgil van Dijk do, and, it, you know, when I hear about it, actually makes him a better person for me, not just a sportsman, but a person.
Yeah, it's a really good point. He's the only player who's played in every single Premier League game as well this season, David. But in terms of the role of a captain, it extends to so far beyond what we see on the pitch, doesn't it? And he is exemplary in so much of what he does.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned what you do see. There's other bits where his performances haven't been up to his usual standard. And he is not afraid to go and say that it is his fault publicly in post-match interviews because he expects the best. And he expects him to do the best. He expects his teammates to do the best. And he doesn't dig people out, but he is quite clear when he's not happy that he hasn't either performed or seen the best. And it takes a lot of confidence to be able to do that. It takes a lot of courage. And I think as a captain, as I say, he demonstrates everything on and off the field.
Second goal for Virgil van Dijk. Third goal was quite a beauty. Alexis McAllister, who
you try to remember all the goals,
aren't you?
Five different goal scorers, and they were all different, apart from being some set pieces. They were slightly different, weren't they?
Number three, great Alexis volley. McAllister, it was.
I mean, that was kind of like off the training ground, isn't it? Something like you do messing around, like the header back, and then it's on the volley, and it's just like you just hit it in training, don't you?
Looks good when it happens,
but when you do it actually here, it looks makes. So easy, but the technique, I mean, we know he's got great technique, but you've still got to pull it out the bag in front of 60,000 at Anfield. And you know, it was brilliant. It was and another player who's come under a little bit of criticism as well, but you know, today, you know, he gets his goal, worked hard, wasn't his greatest game, didn't affect it as much as he usually does. But yeah, he gets on the score sheet, and it was nice to see him smiling.
It was only last week he got his first Premier League goal of the season against Nottingham Forest. So yeah, 2-2
he's
in
prolific.
That sense. I mean, he's on a hot streak at the moment. But I mean, to be fair to him, he scored some big ones. Real Madrid, of course, being a big goal this season, but not so much in the Premier League. So two back-to-back, confidence, every player needs it.
He does, yeah. And I mean, the sort of extend that to the wider team. Mo Salah was the goal getter last season. This season obviously he hasn't been, and people have had to spread the goals. And McAllister with two goals in 2 weeks, the Forest one was more important because it was the only goal in the game. But the way this game went, had that not gone in and 2-0 at half time, perhaps was that second goal or third goal? Was that third goal, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
For West Ham to come out the way they did in the second half, make it 2-1,
good point.
It's equally as important in many different ways. So yeah, if he smiled a little bit, he gave his goal celebration to the cop a personal one. Everything. I mean, he did affect the game. The goal obviously was majorly important. There were times where he was getting stuck in, but I love him. You talk about Virgil and the way the Virgil plays. I love the way McAllister plays. You know, he smashes into people fairly, more often than not.
He's physical in the best way. Yeah.
Yes, but he just disrupts the opposition. And sometimes you just need someone to disrupt the opposition, and he's very good at that.
Tenacious.
Good word.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I'd take that for him. Yeah. Very good.
Thomas Suchek got the goal that maybe gave Liverpool something to think about, shall we say, near the start of the second half.
Yeah, I mean, it was flashed across the box, wasn't it? And he comes in unmarked, and you know, we've seen him do that time and time again, haven't we? So it just, like Jamo said, you know, it makes the importance of McAllister's goal even more important, because you go 2-0 in, you come out 2-1, all of a sudden it does get nervy. But it gave them a slight hope. And to be honest, I'm going to have to say they deserved it. I thought they knocked on the door for periods, West Ham, and you know, they were a threat at times. Somerville off the left, Jared Bowen, you know, a little ball that might have found its way through, could have created an opportunity. You know, they didn't come here and lie down and take a beating, West Ham. They had a go, and you know, you'd have to do that. Like Jamo said, they need points. So it was nice to see them do that. Listen, they were rewarded with two goals, but they certainly weren't the better team here at Anfield, and they didn't deserve to win. But they did deserve something, and you know, that's a couple of goals.
Yeah, they got a couple. First one from Thomas Suchek. Not long after that, Cody Gakpo, David, has the chance to make it 4-1. That was a miss that he will feel, I think, he could have done better with, but he does get himself on the score sheet. And we're speaking about confidence with Alexis McAllister. That was a goal that certainly Liverpool needed at the time in terms of this match, but for him as well, it felt quite important.
Yeah, what was interesting is he had a couple of opportunities in the first half where his trademark sort of run across the front of the box and shoot. This was inside the box, on the left-hand side. I think he was going near post, not far post. It's taken a big deflection and gone into the far post, so it looked like one of his normal shots, if you like. But after the miss, I think there was quite not too much time between the miss and the goal. There wasn't too much time to get in your own head.
Which is good, yeah, yeah, really good.
It is. Booked as well. He'd been booked in between that.
Yeah. We talk about momentum in seasons, but momentum in a game, I think, is something that is easier to observe. And arguably, without the goal, the momentum was going in the wrong direction. So he would take a lot of confidence from that. Again, I think he was going near post, takes deflection, but great goal needed. And that was at the back of a set play as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's a slight sympathy for Cody. I think sometimes he can be unfairly criticised, that, you know, when it's not going well, I think he's an easy target, Cody. I think he puts a right shift in sometimes, doesn't get the credit he's worthy of. listen, he's having quite a productive season. He's scoring goals. He is kind of predictable. You know, he's right-footed. He comes in off that left. The gap opens up and he'll take the opportunity. You know, he's maybe not as productive as last season, but he's still contributing a lot this season in front of goal. And, yeah, he gets his reward. But he showed good character there because, you know, he misses that really big glaring opportunity. It's come a long way. He's been watching it. He's watching it. He's 4 or 5 yards out. He fluffs his lines and, you know, everyone goes, oh. And then he gets booked 2 minutes after and it's like a bad little 4 or 5 minutes, yeah. Isn't it? And you're thinking, oh, please don't take him off. You know, don't give him the like, come on. Like, it's just like, ooh. And then he goes and gets his goal and everyone's like, ooh. Well, a lot of people went, ooh. And then obviously he makes way. But yeah, I'm a Cody fan.
Yeah.
I am. He's such a nice lad as well.
He's a lovely human being.
Yeah, he's a lovely human being.
He really is.
He is. A great fella.
He is. From there, obviously, West Ham make it 4-2. We don't need to talk too much about that. The fifth goal, Jeremy Frimpong is heavily involved in this. It's an own goal by Axel Disasi at the end of the day. But nice for him to come on and make a contribution after a few weeks out.
Yeah, sometimes the games, you know, for managers, Jamo said there, listen, you know, you'd have a plan in the game. Listen, if it's going to be this, this is what we're going to do with the changes. We're going to bring him on. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And sometimes it doesn't go to plan and you don't get the opportunity. Listen, he needs minutes. He's come back from an injury. You need to throw him on. He got the opportunity to do that because of the scoreline. And he contributed and it was nice that he got on. It's nice that he contributed and he's back in amongst it now. So that's positive for Liverpool.
In terms of the overall picture then, it's 6 wins from 7, David. Virgil van Dijk in his programme notes today spoke about the need for forward momentum. We spoke about the run. That
doesn't do momentum. Told us before, he doesn't like
that's
it.
Fair. That's fair. I'll ask you then.
If Virgil says it's right.
Yeah, there you
well,
go.
Well, you know what I mean in terms of the momentum in terms of going forward now, and it feels like even in that long run, there wasn't an awful lot of momentum. Does it feel like Liverpool are getting a little bit behind them now?
As I say, I'm not worried about how they win. And 13 games left, however many games left, it all like that, and that's fine. We'll get maximum points. You take the positive from the win. You take the positive, especially from the amount of goals from set plays, because then you feel more confident going into set plays. And that could be the difference in between a draw and a win. There will be elements to the game, the two goals conceded, that they will have to look at and say, how did we get in a position to concede those goals? Because going forward, there will be sticky matches. I mean, Wolves is going to be a sticky match next week, twice.
Yep.
And they, as they proved last night against Aston Villa, aren't going to be lying down for anybody. So it's taking the positives and making sure that you keep doing those. And that kind of, if you want to talk about momentum or confidence, going into games saying, look, we can score in open play.
Yeah.
Even if it's 96th minute, we can do that. Or we can score from set play. We are a dangerous team and we are confident that we will get the result that we need. And again, I go on about Rio because we talked about him quite at length before the game. But Rio is in a position where he can affect games himself as well. Frimpong coming on and affecting the game. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of positives to take from where Liverpool are at the moment. And they need to carry that through, that positivity, to the end of the season, because there are still 3 big trophies to play for.
The greatest respect, it was the most underwhelming run, 13-game run, I think I've ever witnessed. And it was like, we're 13 unbeaten, how have we done that? And, you know, you go over the games and there was plenty of games where you think, how did we actually get anything from that? You know, we didn't really play anyone of great note where it was a statement win. You know, even Arsenal away, it was a great performance away, but we still didn't have a shot on target and we nicked the point. But then this now, you've said 6 and 7, I actually feel Newcastle, Sunderland, Brighton, they were real good performances where I'm like, yeah, their statement wins them. They're really good performances, solid character, had a bit of everything in it. You're worthy of the 3 points, you own the game, you dictated the tempo, you created opportunities, you were all the good things that we talk about with Liverpool have been in this little run that we're on now. And it's really positive moving forward. Listen, last week was a one-off. You get them bad days at the office and you'll get it. We'll have more before the end of the season. But we're moving in the right direction in a real strong way.
What is really moving in the right direction, as well, is set pieces. Not only defending them well, better, but goals as well from set pieces, David. The stats here, when the third goal went in today, in terms of relation to set pieces and corners today, meant Liverpool hit a run, 7 Premier League goals in a row from non-penalty set pieces. To put that into context, it's the longest ever run of any side in the history of the competition. Now, when you contrast that to the end of last year, the success or lack of success we were having from set pieces, it's been some turnaround in a really short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting to know what the manager and the coaching staff are doing, because perhaps prior to this the sort of extended run that Liverpool have had, scoring in open play is the only way you can score goals. Then teams can stop you from scoring goals, arguably. They just put up the deep block and it becomes very, very difficult. So the set plays become even more important. And today, I mean, I always question what part the set play ends and what part open play starts, because quite often the ball gets cleared, second phase, third phase, whatever. But there was a determination to get the ball back in, to get the shots in, to get the goals. And if you can do that, as I say, till the end of the season, then it could be a very good season.
I think there's a stark contrast is that this season is a bit of a 90s throwback to it. You know, I kind of enjoyed it a little bit because, you know, managers they've changed things on the head, haven't they? They're going long, a lot more longer balls. Set plays, you know, when we were playing, were a really important.
The Joey Gomez short long throw?
The short long throw hasn't been done since 1998, Joe, does it? It's been like, you know, there's a lot of aspects that, like, I find relatable to when we played, and I've kind of enjoyed the rawness of it a little bit. And I think, you know, when you look at the numbers, they're there to back that up, you know, on set plays. You know, Arsenal did it last season, they've been doing it again. But you look at Brentford and, you know, other teams in the division, they really, really emphasise work on set plays and get rewarded for it. And, you know, it's probably not one of Liverpool's strong points because we do score a lot of goals from open play, but it's maybe something we don't do. And then all of a sudden you're not scoring, but everyone else is. And the gap just gets bigger and everyone goes, Liverpool are rubbish at set plays. Where had it been a normal season, we probably would be closer in numbers and it wouldn't look that bad. But maybe, Jamie was right, maybe someone has stood up and gone, hey, let's do this, let's do that, let's change this, let's change that. Oh, look, we've got 4 goals today from corners. So I don't know. It just comes in trends, doesn't it, these things. I wouldn't worry about it.
I'm not worried about it. It's all going quite well. Okay. But there we go. Right. We're going to hear from the boss now. This is a man who might know a little bit about set pieces. Peter McDowell is with him in the tunnel, Peter.
Well, boss, a happy man, raced into that early lead, 5 goals. What's your take on today?
Yeah, happy, because in football it's all about results. And and that's what we had today. I don't think it was the best performance of the season. It was a good performance, but not our best. But the big difference is then when we had better performances, we conceded set pieces. And today we scored 3, conceded 1 as well. But scoring 3 set pieces, then it's hardly impossible to lose a game of football.
I think it's 6 now. I was looking at the stats before. Last 6 Premier League goals have come from non-penalty set plays. That's the longest run of that kind of form in Premier League history for Liverpool.
Yeah. Who would have expected that after the first 6 or 7 months? If you would have bet on that, then you would have been a very, very, very rich man now. Because we've been really poor in the first 7 or 8 months. I think there was a certain moment when we were 23 goals behind Arsenal. That included penalties, by the way. But that is getting back a little bit more back to normal now. With us scoring today 3, conceded 1 also. Could have scored 4 because from the long throw in, Cody had a big chance. But we also knew that how things went in the first half of the season weren't realistic, because one of their first and big chances was a set piece. That would have gone in the first 6 or 7 months, 100% sure. And today they missed, and those are the margins sometimes in football as well, where people now are probably much more positive than they were in the phase when we conceded those goals.
And they are the margins in Premier League. I mean, West Ham never lie down, do they? No. And they were a danger right the way throughout the game.
Yeah, but that's what you know. In the final stages of the season, everybody's fighting for something and no one ever gives up. Also because this Premier League has shown that comebacks are possible in general, but definitely also against us this season. So, they tried to come back. I don't think they were ever close to closing the gap to 1 goal, but you could feel it in the ground that there was some nervousness around the place. because of what happened to us this season, that so many times we gave away a comfortable lead.
Three on the bounce, though, Premier League wins and back in the top five. It feels like a significant week, doesn't it, for this team?
Yeah, but there are 9-10 weeks. I don't know exactly how long the season is still going to be, but maybe a little bit longer. Very important weeks to go, with a lot of games to be played in the Premier League, in the FA Cup, in the Champions League. So I'm happy that we are in a better place now than we were 3 or 4 months ago. I'm happy that players like Jeremy Frimpong and some others might come back. Not all of them, because some of them have long-term injuries. And that, of course, helps if you go into a program that we are going to face in the upcoming weeks.
Well done, boss.
Honest Slot will be satisfied with the vast majority of what he's seen here today.
A drop of red tonight, mightn't he?
Crack, I think he might well do.
Rioja or something. Where's he from? Holland. What do they drink? Red wine? Holland?
Everyone drinks red wine, surely.
Yeah, and 5-2, like, why not? He's allowed one tonight. Why not?
Absolutely. Why not, I'll go and tell him that you've given him permission to have a little tipple.
I'll send him a bottle.
Right, so should we speak about the Champions League? Because we had so much going on pre-match. I never actually got the chance to ask you what you thought about the draw. It could have been Atletico Madrid, David, or Galatasaray. It's a return to Turkey. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Galatasaray, it was 1-0, wasn't it, earlier in the season?
It was. We're going to see that in a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
See it right now, there you go.
Here we go, yeah. I mean, they've qualified, so their season hasn't, or their Champions League season hasn't been bad. I've seen them more recently, thought they were going to be excellent against Manchester City. And Manchester City handled them very well. I mean, I think it's a good draw. I mean, there is a team, an English team, who got an easier draw, I think.
Who are you referring to?
Oh, yeah,
know.
Well, I'm not saying anything. But no, I mean, Galatasaray obviously is going to be difficult over two legs, in the sense that you've got to make sure you win one well,
yes,
which I think they can do. And again, we talked about this before the show, before the game. Make Anfield a fortress. Make sure you do all the work that you need to do at Anfield, and then the other leg is not so difficult.
Yeah, I mean, that was back in September, that game.
Yeah, so it's five months ago.
Yes, absolutely. But also, does it kind of help that they've been there relatively recently? They know exactly the atmosphere, they've experienced it only a few months ago, and probably feel like they've maybe got a little bit of a score to settle as well.
It will, yeah. No, absolutely, you know. There's something said for familiarity,
yeah,
isn't there? And being there, you know, we've both played in Turkey. It's a very intimidating place to go. As much as that atmosphere was back then, it's going to be intensified for this game.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be ranked up a notch. You could see that against Juventus. You know, it was a great result for them. I think it was 5-2, wasn't it? And you know, they battered Juventus, which is a statement victory, to be honest. And they're a dangerous, dangerous outfit, and unless Liverpool go there thoroughly prepared mentally, they could come unstuck in Turkey. Jamo's right, you know, they need to keep it, you know, relatively low scoring game there, maybe cancel them out, maybe not even go with a clean sheet would be brilliant, get them back to Anfield, and this is where Liverpool win the tie here.
Yeah.
You won't win it there. It'll be a very, very difficult game, but you can nullify the impact they have here. So that's going to be important.
Dare we be so bold as to look at how the draw maps out if we do get past
Paris,
Galatasaray?
It
is Paris Saint-Germain who themselves have to get past Chelsea. But obviously the holders, I mean, how would you feel about facing them, Jason?
They're not as good. They've had injuries and circumstances this season. I don't think they're as good as what they were last season. Well, saying that, they weren't great in the first half of last season. They
became
good second half,
yeah,
didn't they? And we met them just as they turned the corner, and then they were phenomenal from that run in against Liverpool up until winning the Champions League. It's going to be a difficult tie if both teams progress. We've got history with Paris. You know, I've been there a few times, watched Liverpool in the Champions League. That's a very difficult place to go. The crowd can be a little bit raucous there. Listen, it's the Champions League. There's nothing easy,
yeah,
at this part. All the top teams, they rise to the top, don't they, at the end, and this is what we've got.
And it's worth pointing out as well, some of our best performances this season have been against some of the toughest teams, if you like, Real Madrid, Inter Milan, of course, as well.
Yeah, there's a part of me I mean, what we saw today would obviously go against what I'm about to say, but there was a part of me where I think the Premier League was out of reach and the focus then shifted predominantly on the Champions League. And the defeat in September was during that sort of iffy spell for Liverpool. Whereas now it seems like the Champions League games, you know, Marseille, it was a tough place to go to and they absolutely handed it to them. And I think, as I say, the focus is win the Champions League because that is a trophy they can win. The Premier League, as obviously now, is too far away. So I like it when I see Liverpool focused because I feel confident they'll win the game.
Yeah. Sounds good. Let's have a look at what March has in store for us in terms of the entirety of the fixtures. And before we get to the glamour of the Champions League, Jace, we have the glamour of a doubleheader against Wolves. Both games at Molineux coming up this week. The first one, only 3 days' time. I think in terms of that, it's always a strange one playing a side twice in the space of a few days, isn't it? I guess that must have come across many times in your day.
Now and again, yeah, now and again.
If you're going to do it, it's nice. It's the bottom side of the Premier League, I suppose, at least.
Well, yeah, you say that, though, Bex, but like, you look at them last night against Villa, you know, and Arnest mentioned it in his press conference, everyone's fighting for something, and he will still believe they've got an opportunity. You know, he still will believe. I know he's probably, maybe in essence, but he probably will be saying to his team, listen, if we win this and win that and get a momentum, we might be able to just claw someone in and we can, you know, you never know. But listen, they can put a performance in, as Villa will testify last night.
This is the bottom half of the Premier League. You said you fear, of course, you've got West Ham linked to Staver, but you fear for them after today?
I do, yeah. I'm not a fan of scoring early, actually. I think scoring early is actually more detrimental to the team that does it. And today, with Liverpool scoring early, West Ham didn't really do enough. We talk about they kept in the game and even Arna saying it there. But as I said, 3-0, Liverpool are miles ahead. They concede the goal and then Liverpool go 4-1. They were never, I thought, in danger of causing Liverpool too many problems. And what you want to see is a team causing problems to stay up, and today West Ham didn't do it. Interesting, you talk about the two games in a row with Wolves. We had it last season with Newcastle, you know, close proximity with the Carabao Cup final. Eddie Howe played a different side in the first game to the Carabao Cup and he ended up lifting the trophy. There's a part to me that will question where Wolves' intention is. It's good winning against Aston Villa yesterday. I don't think they got hope of staying up, personally.
I agree.
But they might think, we've got to hope if we can beat Liverpool in the FA Cup, then we might have a chance to get into Wembley. Yeah. And therefore, I want to see Liverpool win both games. I don't want them to get suckered into winning one game and then ended up getting beaten the other.
That is it from this episode of The Reaction. We'll be back again on Tuesday night from Molineux with more analysis and interviews too as Liverpool take on Wolves. If you haven't already, do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any episodes when they drop.